Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Yes, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The prophet Joel does not tell us what specific sin of the people had led the Lord to send the locusts and call them to return, to repent. But then the prophet doesn't really need to. We write that chapter well enough ourselves as we turn away from the Lord in thought, word, and deed, and as we with our ancestors turn instead toward idols we make in our image and after our likes and dislikes, toward treasures on earth where moth, rust, and ambition destroy us as we try so desperately to free ourselves from our given condition. The prophet Joel does not cite a specific sin or turning away, and that is probably best. For as C.S. Lewis once observed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. The imposition of ashes recalls the day that road was paved. Moses gives the details, while our lives provide the commentary. This chapter that we write so well begins with a covetous glance at forbidden fruit. Oh, I'm not really going to eat it, we think, but God didn't say anything about looking. And then the devil asks, did God really say, while we begin to wonder, does God really love me? And then just a nibble to see what we're missing, not even enough to measure or to remember. And then just a nip to wash it down, and then just one more to forget the first. All the while, the liar insists you can be like God, and like God we want to be. In fact, like God I have to be if God doesn't really love me, choosing my own morality, encouraging my children to do the same, closing God's word to open the door to popular opinion. It is a gentle road. It is easy to walk. And it is just as easy to miss that the exits are becoming fewer and farther between. You are dust, said the Lord God to Adam, and to dust you shall return, for you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat. You shall surely die. Of that the ashes of this day remind us. After all, Tamar put ashes on her head when she was deceived and violated by her brother. We have been deceived by the father of lies, violated by the prince of darkness, left with unbearable guilt and regret. Job sat in the ashes when he was unclean, and we are unclean, smeared with the sins of ourselves, corrupted by the sins of others. Even that great king of Nineveh covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes when the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord comes now to us. Repent. Return to the Lord with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. For fasting, almsgiving, and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. But, Jesus adds, let not your fasting be seen by others. For in rending your heart instead of your garments, the Lord creates in you a clean heart, as the choir sang. And your fasting then flows from faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Indeed, in freely receiving all that you need, and freely receiving the one thing needful, your faith, as well as your fasting, now frees you to give to the needy without making a show about it. And when your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, then only God can be praised, both for the treasures on earth and for the treasures of heaven. Yes, return to the Lord your God, for he has turned to you in Christ. In Christ, that word become flesh, God really did say, I love you, for he is gracious and merciful, giving his son to die for you and for his sake, forgiving you all your sins. He is slow to anger, waiting until just the right time when Christ died for the ungodly who love to turn away. For when that fullness of time had come, abounding in steadfast love for you, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, redeem those who had turned away from the Lord, and now stand under the law's condemnation. Though great are sins, yet greater still is God's abundant favor, for upon Christ was poured the full cup of God's wrath against sin, as he turned his back on his beloved Son, in order to save those like us who turn our backs on God, forsaking his only begotten, that we should receive adoption as sons, even the infants. So return to the Lord, who has turned toward you in his Son, Jesus Christ, who turns you to himself in the watery grave and the life-giving womb of the font. There in holy baptism, the Lord promises to be for you, forgiving your sins, drowning your death, and raising you to live and to love in Christ's resurrection. Faithful to his promises, he turns your heart anew in his words of holy absolution, and he even turns your tongue to taste and your faith to see his love in the body and blood of the Lamb. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Yes, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Today you are reminded that dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Today your head may be smeared with the ashes of fasting, weeping, and mourning. But today we also turn toward Jerusalem to look through the gallows on Golgotha and see the glory of the cross enlightening the tomb. For ashes are not all you wear. No, you are marked forever by the baptismal inscription of Jesus' cross, his death, and his resurrection. And so dust you may be, and to dust you may return. Ashes you may wear, and in ashes you may sit. But the Lord who turns to you this day has taken on the dust of flesh like you. His life has been reduced to ashes by the fire of God's wrath for you. His body was laid to rest in a tomb whose seal was set, and that man is risen again. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.